So what does it mean to say that breast cancer is a moral cause? Unlike other illnesses that may result from what we might consider to be negative behaviors, sex, drugs, smoking, and what they might lead to, breast cancer was very palatable for corporations and cause marketing because it was easy to say, look, this is our mothers, our sisters, our grandmothers, our daughters, our aunts, our friends. These are women who did nothing to bring the disease on themselves. And on top of that, this is a disease that we can say we can support women and we can come together. It's a good thing to do. And we see a lot of ads that focus on daughter, sister, mother, friend, wife, grandmother. When we think about other aspects of what we see in pink culture, we also see the importance of beauty. And in this ad, this is an ad for the Look Good, Feel Better program by the American Cancer Society. And that program has been very helpful to many women in terms of therapy effects, is what I was trying to say. And so even though that program has come forth and has been very useful for women, when you look at the marketing of it, you can't really tell the difference between this ad and an ad that you would flip through Vogue magazine and look at. So the importance of how cancer and breast cancer is being marketed really shows forth when you look at the products and the ads. The idea that not only is beauty important, but women's bodies is important also comes forth pretty strongly. Expose the truth. The beauty of breast cancer research is that it will change the future. A woman's body literally in the shape of a ribbon. But what is really being exposed here? Is it the truth? Do we really know the truth about breast cancer and what happens to women and their bodies as a result of it? We would not know from these images. Back in 1993, we had an image that showed us a little bit more vividly what can happen as a result of breast cancer. This was the cover of Time's magazine in 1993, accompanied with the title, "The Anguished Politics of Breast Cancer, You Can't Look Away Anymore." And you can't, right? You look and you say, ah, this is one of the results, a potential results of breast cancer. But you wouldn't see that ad today. Instead, you see beauty, you see perfection. And even in this ad, which is a breakthrough in biopsy procedures, you see a little Band-Aid and some perky breasts. You don't really need to worry about breast cancer anymore. Breast cancer is also, of course, an excuse to shop. The Cure card was a 4-page ad in Self magazine. Tell your friends, tell your mother, tell your sister, it's time to treat yourself with the Cure card. And what do we treat ourselves with? Any number of products. And when we do that, we can know that we are good people, doing a good thing, supporting a good cause, and having a lot of fun while we do it. And we see a lot of lifestyle. Sometimes it doesn't even matter whether you know about the cause, want to support the cause, or know about breast cancer. Pink is everywhere. Go into a store and you can motor through Pinktober. You can eat some frosty cupcakes slathered in hot pink frosting for the cause. Paul is thinking pink. Show your support of breast cancer awareness by purchasing one of these fabulous pink styles, and we'll donate 10% of the proceeds to fund breast cancer research. And if it were me, I would have put that in quotes, breast cancer research, because we don't really know what it's supporting. When we see lifestyle, we also see the slang terms, the fun of laugh out loud for breast cancer awareness. That slang term to go out into the world and just say, yeah, breast cancer is something we can have fun thinking about, have fun supporting. And when I went into one store and I saw 5-foot balloons of pink ribbons, I thought, wow. When did breast cancer become like a big birthday party? I didn't know that. So we also see trivialization, and sometimes that trivialization results in things like balloons and playing cards and things like that. But we also specifically see products that really infantilize. We see dolls, breast cancer Barbie, the teddy bear with the pink ribbon, the dolls, the dancing pink ribbon from Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and that's an interesting one. If you drill down into the Awareness Month website, you can see a claymation video of the dancing ribbon that bounces from one cubicle to the next saying, "It's time for your mammogram, tell your friends," and then hops to the next cubicle to spread the word again. You see a big pink eraser like the ones kids use in elementary school to erase little problems they have, like little problems like breast cancer. We also see women's traditional roles. Women need to do what they do traditionally in society, cooking, cleaning, serving the needs of others with pink kitchen aids, pink retro appliances, and pink Playtex gloves. But we have a free pass because there's a bonus breast self-exam shower hanger inside, and so we all know that it really is doing a good job for the cause. And in addition to traditional roles, we also see the role of women as sex objects. Sexualization for the cure. I love boobs. My girl has great tatas. Save the tatas. If loving tatas is wrong, I don't want to be right. Fake, perfect, perky, cold, big, small, and even grandmas save them all. Don't let breast cancer steal second base. Bowling for boobs, band for boobs, fill in the blank for boobs. As long as it's for the cause, it is a free pass to sexualize women. And it's actually also interesting to think about sexualization of women if you consider the fact that it's also National Domestic Violence Awareness Month. In this ad, Project Boobies, which is supposed to be promoting breast self-exam, the t-shirts that go along with this say, "I grab a feel." And if you've ever done a breast self-exam, you'll know that your hands don't work that way during the exam. So it's clear in this ad that somebody else is grabbing that feel. But we don't stop there. We even sexualize little babies. Find a cure before I grow boobs so that later on I can grab that feel. And of course, it's not only in the cancer marketplace and the supporters of how you support the cause, but all of these stereotypes make their way into pink culture and how it is that the diagnosed are supposed to survive. She has pink lipstick, and you can't hear the violins playing when she tells her story. But the Shiro, as it makes its way back and forth, through survivor stories, through images, through cause marketing, that idea of what does it mean to be a survivor, to be triumphant, it involves confidence, it involves strength, it involves a positive attitude, and we are warriors for the cause. We fight it, and we fight it the best we can, not only with the smile on our face, but with all of the drugs and the medical procedures that we can possibly think of to help us along. So the idea of the survivor and what survivorship has meant, what survivorship meant as it grew through the women's movement, as it grew through advocacy, giving women a voice to claim survivorship, to define survivorship in the way that was meaningful to them, has kind of been coerced and shifted into one very particular version of survivorship that does emphasize courage and strength and positivity, the will to fight, and to fight with not only a smile, but a willingness to take off your shirt and run outside naked. And even as warriors in pink and sheroes, the diagnosed, come forward in strength and numbers and positivity, we see an amalgamation of survivorship and the warrior now. Pink culture has developed into a system where anybody can be a shiro. You don't need to be diagnosed with breast cancer. You can be a warrior for the cause. All you need to do is put on your warrior marks, which you can buy for $7.99 through Ford Motor Company on their website. You can get a tattoo in support of someone. You can bang the drum in support of breast cancer awareness. And most importantly, if you go out there as a warrior for the cause, whether you are diagnosed or not diagnosed, most importantly is that you do not whine. No criticizing, no critique. Go out there and smile and fight that cause with that smile on your face, preferably with a pink boa. And what's really clear, especially if you talk to people who do not feel triumphant about their breast cancer, who do not feel it was something that was important in their life, a major learning experience, something that shifted and became positive, you'll see that if you don't feel that way, you're going to be left out of the conversation. And you really see that if you talk to people who are diagnosed with any of the later stage breast cancers. So one person had said, I can't tell you the number of times people have said to me that staying positive and happy will keep me winning my battle with breast cancer. People always ask me how I'm feeling, but don't really want to hear the answer unless I'm upbeat and sunny. So what happens if you do come forth and say, you know, I'm really not so happy about this, I'm not so sure about all the pink stuff, I don't really feel all that empowered by it? An article in Boston Globe last year with the title Sick of Pink had interviewed diagnosed women, and one woman that they introduced was 24, and she was not enamored with pink stuff, and she actually had a self-imposed pop culture blackout during the month of October, where she tried to avoid mass media, and she specifically tried to avoid shopping. And she said, I want to buy my English muffins and not be reminded of my cancer. I felt kind of hateful. And that brings up a really interesting conundrum, because you have all this pink stuff around. There are a lot of people supporting it because they want to do a good thing. And yet when we look at what's really happening, we look at it and find out that it might be doing something else, and it may not even make diagnosed women feel good that it's all around them. In response to that article, there were a number of people who wrote in support, suggesting, you know, maybe, possibly, corporations could be perhaps exploiting breast cancer for their own purposes. One response was particularly harsh and negative. EOLeary29 was the screen name, said, I really find it incredible that people are actually complaining about receiving donations from corporations. Breast cancer generates more awareness and charitable donations than any other fatal disease in the U.S. They keep talking about being disrespected or used. How about being grateful people care enough to buy those annoying pink products? And I did not put in those caps or those exclamation points. It was very clear this person was very upset. And what has been created is essentially an us-them scenario, a pink ribbon bandwagon. You're either with us or you're against us. And that was very clear in a chant, a cheer of go pink or go home that was cheered at Lowe's Motor Speedway near Charlotte, North Carolina last year in a fundraiser for Komen for the Cure. The fans literally cheered as the car went around the track saying, go pink or go home. And that us-them has now become very prevalent in pink culture, and it moves the culture in many ways beyond critique, because it's hard to come forward and question what might actually be going on. The go pink or the go home title did not only stop at Lowe's Motor Speedway, it made its way into other football fields as well. This was a choreographed fundraiser last October. This actually took place in 2009 and 10 in Texas, where I live. And the dancers out of the field started in a pink ribbon formation and then danced to several songs, Pink Warrior being one of them. And you may have seen the football field this year as well, NFL. There was another pink ribbon formation. This time they did not cheer go pink or go home, which I was really happy about. But you still felt that sentiment. It's all pink all the way. And the us-them, the pink bandwagon that I've now more recently been calling it, makes its way to doctors too. It's not only the diagnosed who can't come forward, or researchers who can't come forward, or journalists who can't come forward. It's also doctors. And after the American Cancer Society came out last year and said that the screening guide, or the benefits of screening had been exaggerated, another doctor was asked why it took so long for that to happen. And what he said was, if you question overdiagnosis of breast cancer, you're against women. You're either for us or you're against us. The us-them scenario is then mutually reinforced through cause marketing. In this Yoplait ad, the Save Lives to Save Lids campaign, it actually says, if you held the cure in your hand, would you throw it away? Save Lids to Save Lives does raise money. And if you consider that in 2008, Yoplait reached its goal of 15 million lids, they actually did give $1.5 million to Komen. Actually, that year, their revenues also went up 14%, and they made $5.9 million as well. So part of that guilt, if you held the cure in your hand, would you throw it away? Is also increasing revenues and sales for Yoplait. So then we get to the end of this and we say, wow, sexualizing women, putting women in their place, taking us back to what period of time where our roles were very, very divided and domesticated. Maybe there are scientific controversies that don't make their way to the public. What do we do? And the first thing that I really point out is in what we do is to just look and notice what is it that is out there that we see. When we see pink ribbons and we see a revolver with a pink ribbon on it for the cause, we might ask ourselves, do we want to sell guns in the name of breast cancer? When we see Save the Boobies, I Love Boobies bracelets on high school students in their schools, are they really, really supporting the cause of breast cancer? When information doesn't make its way out into the public, what is that really doing? So just look, notice, and ask. And if you decide that you do want to support the cause through cause marketing, you might consider reading the fine print. Breast Cancer Action put forth a campaign started in 2004 called Think Before You Pink. And in that program, they had a list of critical questions. You can still find it on their website. And they say, well, first of all, look at how much money from your purchase is actually going, because sometimes it doesn't say. Sometimes it just says to support the cause of breast cancer, to support the fight against breast cancer. One of the recent ones, Pink Hair to Show You Care, you might know that one. None of the money goes to support breast cancer. So it's important to look, read the fine print. Look at the maximum. Is there an amount that is actually designated to go toward a particular cause or organization? If it doesn't say, then it may be much smaller than you think. It's also important to look at whether there are deadlines. Save Lids to Save Lives is functioning for a particular time period, and when that time is over, it's done. If you buy an extra pink yogurt lid after that date, your money's not going anywhere. How are the funds being raised? We already covered that one. What organizations does the money go to? Does it specify it? And do you actually support what those organizations support? What's the company itself doing to ensure that the products that they make or the way they manufacture them are also not contributing to the cause of breast cancer? One that people are talking about quite a bit now is the fact that you can buy wine for the cure. I mean, I like wine, I like to drink wine, but is there a conflict of interest there in purchasing an item that actually increases risk of breast cancer in the name of breast cancer awareness and research? You can also donate directly to organizations. And one of the things that's so important is we often have this idea, well, not you guys, because you know about local organizations, and New York State has the largest network of organizations in the country. So you already know this. But a lot of people don't know that there are hundreds and hundreds of organizations across the country that are small, community-based, and they really need your help. They provide a bulk of services in their communities. So instead of buying stuff and contributing indirectly to some organization through a corporation, you could just call them up, ask them what they need, and help them directly. You might participate in a health study like Susan Love's Healthy Women Study that is actually gathering data over a long period of time to look at what is happening with women's health, what are women's behaviors over their lifespan, and then do they actually end up getting breast cancer? That kind of long-term data could be really helpful in moving us toward finding out what causes breast cancer. Last but not least, I have a lot of stuff on my website, pinkribbonblues.org. You can go there, you can look at organizations that I have listed, and there's also a list of organizations in every state in the country. So whatever your home state is, if it's not New York, see what organizations are there. I want to turn it over to you because I'm really dying to hear what you think about all this. So thank you so much for being here. I appreciate it, and I'm so happy to see so many familiar faces. Thank you.